This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Something like 5 years ago now, we did a series of stories with James Fallows, the national correspondent for The Atlantic magazine. He and his wife, Deborah, would fly around the country in their own small private plane to the cities and towns that people don't usually talk about very much. We would go along or meet them someplace and just talk to people to see how things were going away from the national dysfunction. We went with them to Sioux Falls and Columbus, Mississippi, Eastport, Maine as well. Jim and Deb went to many, many more places and have told the tale of those travels in their new book. It's called Our Towns, a 100,000-mile journey into the heart of America. It's really good to have you both here.
Thank you, Kai.
I'm going to start, actually, Deb, with you. And this observation, which is about how you start the book, you start with leaving Washington on the way out here to L.A. and Southern California to write this thing. It's almost you started at the end, kind of.
Yeah, that was a big moment. We were leaving in the winter of 2017, heading for, once again, beautiful Southern California, taking a southerly route across the U.S. to get into the proper mood to tell this story right of all the things that we had seen across the country.
Jim, give me the, the airman's perspective on this. Why, other than you enjoying flying around in your plane, why do this reporting this way?
To be honest, there are a couple reasons. One is, I just love doing this. The view you have of a nation with no state borders and no political boundaries, but you can see why cities are where they are. It's also the case that over time, the most interesting thing to us, and what we wanted to convey, was direction. You know, some places you can imagine they're making it, others not. But I think the sense of where people felt their communities, their businesses, their lives were leading them, that became more and more fascinating to us.
Here comes then, Jim, the okay but wait question. Because as you have written and as we see in the newspapers every day and read and hear on radio and television and in all of our, you know, public consumption of news, things are fraught, if not fractured, at the national level. And the thesis of this book is, in essence, the heck with the national level. There are cities and towns in this country that are making it work, and we need to pay attention to that.
Yes, that would be a good summary. You might consider a career as an interviewer. So I think that the complex but not too complex message we're trying to get across is that everyone is very well aware of all the things that are not working at the national level. There's essentially no news value there. What people seem to us to be insufficiently aware of is how much the local progress that most people reported had its analogs all across the rest of the country, that most places we went, they felt like, well, here in Mississippi, we're getting our new steel factory, we're getting our ways to train people, but I assume they're not doing that every place else. And our sense was that most people felt much better about the part of the world they could directly experience than the one they just heard about. And so making people realize it wasn't just these islands of some forward movement, that's essentially our message.
Deb, a word here about civic institutions. And I should say here, you two, by the time you'd done this a couple of cities worth, you had a pretty set methodology, right? Jim would go and do his thing with economic development and you know, other folks, and you would go and check out schools and libraries and language training centers in places with lots of immigrants. Talk to me for a second about how those civic institutions fold into the rise of these communities.
Yeah. So when we went to these towns, Jim and I would usually start out by going to see the mayor or the city manager and the newspaper editor and get a little bit of a sense of what was going on in town. And then we would split up and go in our different directions. And I would head for a public school or a charter school and to the library and to the recreation centers, places like that, that were the public institutions of the town. And what was very interesting to learn about these was how these public institutions had their fingers on the pulse of the heart and soul of those communities and where they could collaborate together to speak to the wants and needs and kind of fill in the gaps and make their cities grow and thrive and all work together.
Jim, you two end this book with a list of 10 and a half signs of civic success. We'll get to the half in a minute. But I want to point out a couple of them and then ask you about one specifically. They work together on local possibilities. You say they ignore national politics public-private partnerships. They have downtowns, which is helpful. Number nine is they make themselves open when it comes to immigration, which is, I think, a really interesting thing, especially about after our experience in South Dakota in Sioux Falls.
Yes, and you recall early in this journey when we were together in Sioux Falls, I think we were all surprised, and Deb and I didn't really know how to put it in perspective then, that there were all of these refugees working in the pork slaughtering house there.
Yeah.
And at just the time when our national level has become more polarized on this precise issue, you hear those build-a-wall rallies in places where there are no foreigners. The places, by and large, where outsiders are arriving, they are being absorbed in the way that has been the case through our history, which is to say it's never perfect, it's never entirely easy, but it happens. And we saw that in South Dakota and in Kansas, Dodge City, Kansas, majority Latino now. And we saw it in Michigan. We saw it around the country.
You also say they have to have educational facilities, Jim. Number 10 is they have to have big plans, be ambitious. And then 10 and a half, and this is a little tongue-in-cheek, but it's kind of real, they have a brewery.
It is true. And this was, again, a point of personal privilege to begin with. I love craft beer, and so I'm glad to see it spread, which is now to all 50 states. But it's become a real economic thing. As you've discussed in your show, it's an actual employment center now with hundreds of thousands of employees in this industry across the country. We were just recently in Duluth, where a brewery called Bent Paddle is essentially the anchor for an old industrial part of town reviving. So, yes, 10 and a half, the half I have special fondness for.
One more interesting thing about the Bent Paddle, which we hadn't seen in other microbreweries. The Bent Paddle had a separate kind of community gathering room that they turned over on several nights out of the week for civic groups or organizations to come have their meetings. So they're kind of vying with the public library to be a community center as well.
Common spaces, right? I mean, that's a real thing.
That's right.
Yeah. James Fallows, national correspondent for The Atlantic Magazine. Deborah Fallows, his wife and a linguist, and both of them the authors of a new book called Our Towns, a 100,000-mile journey into the heart of America. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
Thank
Kai.
You, Kai.
If you want to see and hear some of the places we went with Jim and Deb Fallows and their Cirrus SR22, we've collected a bunch of them at our website, marketplace.org.